gave it to my mom. I thought.
I have.
Remember?
Really? You have a brother?
Or down?
I remember.
What?
I lost track of birth.
Is that what it is? Well, good. I will go next time. Thank you.
I'm going to steal one for her own.
Go with the flow. Mr. Frutos, what are we going to do with you?
Exactly.
Give me a lighter head. That would be a good beginning.
That's funny.
That required a lot of effort to get down over there.
Because you know what?
To get down the microphone,
I
mean,
I think I was gone when they did that.
He says, no, I'm my mother.
Just a little treat to make it.
That's funny.
Already got one. Thank you.
That's funny. Keep you on your toes.
Then I said, lo siento.
No, lo siento. No. Oh, yeah, I love that.
No, I didn't say
that. Are both of those yours? I didn't want it to look like you were waiting for me.
This one.
Is that mine?
This one is definitely mine.
Okay.
Hello, Dwight. How are you?
I think they're ready to start.
Not as quiet as when we did the point pass. People had that one get silent.
Thrilled. Doing great.
Okay, I will go ahead and call this meeting to order at 7 o'clock. Please rise and join us in an invocation led by Mrs. Polis and flag salute led by Mr. Fuller.
Dear Lord, thank you so much for allowing the successful opening of all of our schools and allowing our children to come back safely. And for the extra effort that the teachers put in. In his name we pray, amen.
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Schumacher?
Here.
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 Mr. Cox?
Here.
Mr. Spence?
Here.
Okay, our first item of the evening is a presentation from California Elementary School with Principal. This is our fabulous principal, Ms. Cheryl Lessiker.
Thank you. Excuse the coughing. This just started a little while ago. Good evening, President Shoemaker, board members, Superintendent Castillo, Cabinet, California teachers, and fellow principals and audience. Okay. Last year, I came before you to explain our school improvement plan. With every intention of our scores soaring. But as it turned out, that's not the case. And no one has agonized over the drop of these scores more than the teachers and myself. So tonight I'm here to explain what we did that worked well, what we feel we need to improve upon, and how we're going to bring our scores back up. As you know, our API dropped to 777, which included our significant subgroups and grades 2 through 4. We're pleased that our special education scores, our API increased, and that fifth grade science went up 16 points. Though fifth grade has not made significant growth over the past 3 years, they did increase their overall API this year 19 points. Fourth grade has seen a declining API since 2006. All other grades increased in 2007, but with the exception of fifth grade, dropped again last year. I'm very proud to say, though, that fourth grade had 45% of the students proficient or advanced on the STAR writing test this last year, with 7% of those kids scoring a perfect 8, which we've not had for some time. Though our AYP for both math and ELA are still above the state expectation, the number of students proficient and advanced dropped in ELA and math from last year. Third grade dropped 27% in ELA, and second grade dropped 17 points in ELA and 12 points in math. Last year I explained what our action steps would be for 2007-2008 school year. Though we worked very hard at meeting these expectations, we discovered there are some areas we still need to tighten up in program monitoring. For example, we provided after and before school intervention, but the student attendance was not consistent. So regular attendance is critical to progress towards successful standards. Our fact, practice, and mastery that we offered during lunchtime was successful for those who attended again regularly. This year, we're going to tighten up the monitoring of those students and the communications to teachers so they can follow up in the classroom. This proved to be an effective intervention for those students. When we implemented Success Maker, this proved to be an effective intervention for those that followed the program with fidelity. But the class where this happened, the students showed a 1 to 1.5 year increase in proficiency. So this year, the monitoring piece will be improved so that students can achieve the maximum benefit of the program. Okay, this year, all of our classes will be self-contained. We don't know if leveling the students was a factor in the scores dropping, but we do know that the reduced class size greatly improved the cohort proficiency in fourth grade and fifth grade English language arts. By being self-contained, this will save time in changing classes, and teachers and I will be able to monitor the student progress a little more closely. By monitoring instruction and show that the pacing guides were followed, my visitations in and out of the classroom showed that we followed the pacing guides, but student engagement and differentiation still needs to be a focus for this year. We're working diligently to provide differentiate during workshop time. Data analysis is always ongoing. Last year, our analysis was examined quarterly and after the benchmarks. But this year, we found that that was not frequent enough. So we will be examining data monthly as a school and weekly as a grade level and within individual teachers. Our professional development was aligned with the district goals. We focused on instructional strategies for English learners, visual literacy, and differentiated instruction. We'll continue to work on all these instructional strategies. And an emphasis on differentiation during workshop time will be the focus for all staff, but will be evaluated for those teachers on an evaluation year. Based upon the analysis of our data, as I mentioned, professional development from last year, we continue to strengthen our standards-based practices. We'll be starting with Step Up to Writing, a review training which will take place September 24th. The research shows that if students write every day across the content areas, student achievement will go up. And we'll do our best to implement the new writing program. I hope to continue to see our fifth grade scores continue to climb with the adoption and every teacher making sure that their students know the grade level standards. We will receive open court workshop training by an open court representative to reinforce the use of workshop time to better meet the individual needs of students and to just become better at it with more practice. Every teacher will review Success Maker to ensure implementation with fidelity to maximize the program benefits. And we've seen this program work when it's used with fidelity. Teachers would like to have training in a standards-based grading program, either through ARES or another program. They would also like training to identify students with learning disabilities and how to best meet their needs in the classroom. They would also like assistance with scheduling and how to get it all in the course of one day. We've always conducted grade-level meetings, but we're getting better at a more in-depth study of instructional practices and using data to drive our instruction. Topics that might be covered at our grade-level meetings, should you visit, are standards instruction and data analysis with the corresponding action taken as needed, ongoing discussion of alignment of standards to instruction and benchmarks, lesson design and differentiation for all students. We just need more daily practice with differentiation of instruction. Lesson pacing, so benchmarks are reflective of progress towards standards. Sharing of instructional strategies is a very important piece of grade level meetings. They need to discuss with them in themselves what worked, what didn't work. How can we make it better tomorrow? Discuss strategies to integrate a content across the curriculum to maximize the instructional day, one piece of how to get it all in the course of a day. And share and discuss student work and determine the next step for instruction. Based upon what we've learned, and to ensure that our funds maximize student achievement, I've had to reallocate money that was slotted for technology to student intervention programs. I'll also need to determine which teachers are available for before and after school intervention, to continue the funding of the instructional aid to operate Fact Factory during lunchtime, which is key to the kids mastering their math facts. We're going to try and solicit college students from Cal Poly or a nearby college to assist in the upper grade classes and take student teachers whenever possible. Some of the materials that we're going to be needing is we're going to identify and purchase additional before and after school programs so that we have a very structured program that will be helpful in raising student achievement. We're going to allocate the funds for staff development to support the school goals of writing and open court workshop. And we're going to improve the use of Success Maker with additional training. Some of the action steps that you will see in place so that we can bring up student achievement. Our action steps will start with the meeting with every teacher to discuss the data from last year as well as the student roster they have for this year. These goal and objective meetings are scheduled for September 21st and 22nd. I've purchased Standard Plus for California School. This program was used by schools whose scores increased, so we're going to try it too. And as I mentioned before, our classes will be self-contained. We will start intervention programs earlier this year. Success Maker and Fact Factory are already in place, but we'll start after school and before school intervention in October. To encourage good attendance, which was a problem last year, incentives will be offered to students for attending regularly. And as I visit the classrooms, I'll be looking for strategies that we've learned in staff development, as well as those that have been mutually decided upon by teachers. And as I mentioned earlier, Step Up to Writing, Open Court Workshop, Success Maker, and Differentiation will be the focus of our professional development. Our action steps will continue with the administration and use of unit assessments and benchmark analysis of the data monthly. We'll work as a school to effectively implement Standards Plus to bring up student achievement. We'll also help parents understand their role that they play in their students' academic achievement, both through parent workshops and school-to-home communication. The district walkthroughs, which are more than welcomed, will be done on a regular basis with a specific protocol and then feedback to the site. Instructional support specialists will be available to model lessons for teachers or to provide coverage of classrooms so teachers can go and observe their peers teaching. Both the ISS and myself will have ongoing dialogues with teachers about instructional practices. If you were to come and visit our site, evidence that we were focused on improving student achievement might be in the form of professional development calendars and agendas, grade level meeting agendas and minutes, all on file at the district, teacher lesson plans, district principal and observations that would be checking for understanding as teachers were teaching. Unit and benchmark assessment results, principal's data analysis file, teacher's assessment data notebook, both of those are available at any time, and you'd see students learning. In summary, we will implement an assessment system that provides timely feedback on specific knowledge and skills for all students, establish specific challenging achievement goals for the school as a whole, set specific goals for teachers and students, ensure that our curriculum and instruction are aligned with state standards, there's frequent monitoring of teaching and instruction, and our staff development is focused. So there you have our plan for student improvement for this year at California School. Thank you very much.
Any questions? Mr. Fuller?
No, can you explain two items, success maker and what you mean by participate in district walkthroughs?
Okay. Success Maker is a computer program that is designed to meet the individual needs of students so they become proficient in either language arts or math. And what you do is you assess the students. There's pre-assessment on the computer in the program. It places the kids where they belong as far as how many hours it takes for them to become proficient in the standards. So it's very well monitored. If my child needs, say, 40 hours of math in order to become proficient, it spells out those lessons and it generates the lessons automatically. So it's a very structured, scripted program that works very well when done with fidelity. We had great success with that. So we're going to improve on that this year, retraining the teachers and then practicing the monitoring piece better.
How does it determine what's going on in the child's mind and exactly how many lessons are going to take to generate, to reconfigure that mind to be educated?
Based on how they place on the pre-assessment, that and where they fall in that scale, that determines how many hours it takes for them to be on the computer going through the lessons to reach proficiency.
I'm saying the assessment seems to be the key.
It's the key to placement.
How is the assessment generated that can extrapolate from the child's mind that they need 41 hours of standard-based lessons on the computer to be proficient, and they will be proficient. And who is monitoring those during that time to make sure that is happening? And if there's a glitch at 20 hours, who's reconfiguring it to maybe look at it?
That's where training of the teachers and the instructional aides come in, because they're taught how to monitor the kids, they're taught how to walk the kids through the pre-assessment, and where they score is where they're placed and how many hours. That's just the way the program is set up. And then that the piece that we're going to pay more attention to is the monitoring of the students while on the program.
But my question is still, how does the company come up with that, able to assess that number of hours based upon that session?
It depends on how long it takes to learn a standards-based skill. Okay, so whatever knowledge they're trying to test and whatever skill they're trying to test, they repeat that so many times in their program in order to get the student to learn it, and then they test for it. If they don't do it, they have to repeat it. So it's sort of the leveling type of, you know, SRA kind of thing, where if you go from green to yellow to red based on how many things you get correct. So it basically looks at the standards for the grade level.
Right.
It paces it out during the year, and it says, in order for us to identify a student learning a certain proficiency on something, this is how many hours he's got to study that, based on their own research. And what we found is that when we did use this before with fidelity, it worked. What happens to us in many of our schools and many of our classrooms is that we can give you the best tool, the best interventions, the best everything. And unless these things are done with constant fidelity and expertise, then you've really, you know, just wasted money. Because in order for these things to have an effect on kids, and research has shown this program has worked, we would not have invested in it if it hadn't. And even in the classrooms at that school that were using it well, the kids did well. So we're trying to get a more systemic implementation of those best practices and programs that we know work. and this is one of them. The second part of your question had to do with walkthroughs.
District walkthroughs.
District walkthroughs. One of the things that the Office of Instruction has been doing, as you know, with Edgewood, is that there's sort of a team approach between the Office of Instruction and the implementation. They're there for meetings, and they discuss, you know, what things are working, what things are not. And then it's another pair of eyes that comes in and says, okay, you know, with your teachers, it's not really to evaluate, but to look at whether progress is being made in the areas that this plan has signaled as what they're going to be working on. So it's feedback. It's just to provide feedback.
And mechanically, district personnel
yes.
visit the classroom
yes.
and provide
feedback.
Feedback.
Correct.
Good, thank you.
Any further questions?
No.
Mr. Spence?
On the topic that Mr. Fuller had raised about district walkthroughs, you had mentioned that there's a protocol involved. What exactly do you mean by that?
The district has established a protocol, so as they're walking... I'm sorry, what?
Sorry, and what is that? Yeah. What is the protocol then? I mean, what would happen before a district walkthrough takes place?
Well, it's a protocol of what they're looking for,
okay.
so that as they go through the classrooms, whether it be my school, whether it be another school, they're looking for very specific things to be in place so that we are systemically raising student achievement.
Let me give you an example. we've been focusing on differentiating instruction for about 2.5 years now. And we walk into classrooms all the time, and we don't see it happening. And so we want to work with teachers that want to learn how to do it better. We want to work with teachers who are doing it and teachers who just need help doing it. And so each time they go in, and Jan, you can, you know, explain this, but each time we go in, they know what we're looking for. And what we're hoping to do is see it done systemically. Because where scores rise, you see systemic planning, you see faithful implementation, you see monitoring of teaching and learning, you see appropriate interventions and programs that are working. You see planning during common planning time or the team approach time. You see professional development geared to that which we need to improve. So it's another way of supporting the school in their dialogue for improvement in a systemic way.
Right, so the idea then, you would go over there just randomly, or the district team would just go over and expect to find these kinds of things going on in the classroom.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I had a question. You talked about leveling and eliminating leveling, but you weren't sure if leveling played a factor in the decline of scores. I'm just kind of curious how you came to the conclusion to go ahead and eliminate it.
One of the things that we're going to try and do this year is a more improved way of monitoring the students' progress towards standards. When we leveled the kids, though, we show some improvements in cohort groups. We can't directly tie our scores dropping to whether or not we level, but what we can do is monitor them better. If I'm looking at benchmark scores and I'm not sure which class those kids come from, because I can be looking at a homeroom class, but they went to a different teacher for math and a different teacher for language arts, it's very difficult to track their progress. And this year, it's all about tracking their progress and making sure that individual kids meet individual standards. Once you get over 800, it has to be about every child and every
yeah.
standard.
And but I guess my question is, there are many of our schools do some kind of leveling.
Can,
I'm
can
curious,
I
do we have
yeah.
do we have difficult? I mean, how do we track that then?
It's an excellent point. The schools that have success with leveling have programs which cause for the teaching to be more aligned to the standard and throughout each grade level. What we were seeing at California, and we struggled, and the teachers know, we struggled through this last year. Looking at instructional minutes and having kids move from one place to another and then keeping track presented challenges. And I'm sure the teachers here would say that they would prefer to continue to level. We can only level when we have a systemic approach to teaching so that we can see that. And I'm not saying it's gone forever, but they know that we got to get better at our grade level planning so that when we level, such as SFA levels, that the same things are being reinforced in each of the grade level classes. And I think what we're looking at here, and to all of their credit, they worked very hard. I think it would be safe to say that if they had their way, they'd continue to level. But in order to level and be successful, you have to make sure you have a systemic approach to instruction.
And so the schools that we have that do that, so we have the capability of doing that.
Absolutely. And if there's two ways to do it. One is adopting a program that every teacher gets trained to implement, such as SFA, you know, et cetera. Open Court does it to a certain degree. And it's also about how you level. Do you level up? Do you level down? Where do you do it? If you get trained through SFA, you learn how to do that effectively. But some
of our non-SFA schools do leveling, too.
They were one of them.
Yeah.
And some did not have success. So some are saying, you know, they can get back to it. But again, it takes instructional planning in order to know those kids well, know teacher's strength well, and making sure that at each grade level we're teaching those standards. And so what they're doing is a time out from leveling, because one of the things, and I'm sure that Cheryl has shared this with them, one of the things I work very hard to do is protect instructional minutes. And it was taking a lot of time as I observed kids from moving one place to another. By the time the kids got settled in the class and things were about to begin, they probably lost anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes. And I said, we got to get better at this. We have to figure out how to do this in a different way. And so, you know, I'm very pleased at the fact that they were as shocked as we were in terms of the turn that they've taken. But I really believe that they're going to establish some things that's going to get back to the kinds of things that they want to do once they start working together to make that systemic.
So then is the plan, assuming that this is successful and that student learning as measured by the various testing programs we have, if they go up, then we would return to leveling once the training. I mean,
yes.
is this then basically a short-term one-year plan, and then
yes.
we're going to hear back about what we're doing the next time, or how is it going to work? Because obviously, some of our schools have the capability of doing the leveling, you know, including our non-SFA ones. So, I'm just trying to figure that out.
I think for now we have a year's plan, and
right
we're hoping
now,
to see
we have a year's plan. It's going to be determined by data to see whether we're successful or not.
Right.
And then we may tweak it. It may come back in a teaming approach versus a leveling approach. And teaming is different than leveling.
Yeah.
There's other different capabilities. But right now we're going to go back to the basics of everybody being self-contained so we can monitor these kids more easily, standard by standard, child by child.
Okay. And then at California School, what is the percentage of transiency that we have? I mean, how does that play into some of this? How many of these kids did we have in 2006, 2007, and 2008 when we had the drop? You know, is it 70% of the same kids? Is it 10% of the same kids? You know, what is that kind of percentage?
I do not know that right off the top of my head, but I will be happy to supply that with you tomorrow.
Okay.
At the elementary level, we have seen, you know, and I'm going to guess, and Mike, you correct me if I'm wrong, Mike Seaman would know, but we see, below 20%. It starts growing as we move up the grades.
Because obviously, you know, I mean, these were some pretty, when you start looking at, you know, even the way AYP, you know, we're below 2006 levels, you know, so you start thinking, well, you know, what exactly is going on? That would be good to get that kind of information.
Yes.
And I guess the last thing is exactly what is the goal then for this year?
To raise scores.
Yeah. Well, I understand that, but I mean, is it to get to the 2006 levels? Is it to get to 2007? Is it to radically make that
there,
jump? I mean, there, I guess what is the goal?
Let me answer, and then you can answer. We've established an urgency to meet the goal that the Board of Education has adopted, that by the year 2010, every school will be at 800. And that urgency, of course, increases the closer we get to that and the further we are from it. One of the things that we noticed in looking at the data this year is that while we focused in moving kids from the bottom and from the second tier up, we lost some of the kids that were up here to go in the wrong direction. And so we are getting better at differentiating instruction, at targeting instruction, making sure that teachers are teaching the standard, and that there's a school that is focused on the things that they need to do. We have reviewed every plan that is going to be presented before you, and we believe that this school is going to meet their target and above. I really believe that they have the potential in terms of the teacher quality at that school. We have a stable faculty there that works very well with Cheryl, and even though it's one of our smaller schools in terms of students, they are students that need support, and so hopefully when we get the statistics for you, you'll see that the change isn't all that great in K through 5, but it's enough to, you know, even this year, I'll give you an example, and it's important for the teachers to know this. We project numbers of students that are coming to our school district, and all of a sudden, you know, first grade gets too big at a school, or third grade, because when kids come to us, they don't come in packages of 20 to 1. They don't come in packages of 30 or 32. And so we have to make decisions in the best interest of kids, not to take a kindergarten from one school and throw them at another school. And so they are going to be, unfortunately, having to pick up a couple classes that are combination classes. And what grade levels are they?
We have a K-1 as of Monday, and we've had a 4-5 since the school started.
However, our research indicates that in some schools, the combination classes have done better, the kids in the combination classes, because it's about the quality of teaching those standards. And so this is a school that I think had some things that they needed to think about. It wasn't from a lack of working hard and really looking to meet those goals. This is a school that I truly believe has the urgency. It was heartbreaking to tell them what the results were, because frankly, I know that you worked very hard last year, and I appreciated that.
So what exactly then is the goal for this year?
Our goal is not only to recoup the 27 points that we lost, but to achieve our personal goal of 809. Yes. And as you know from the last few years, our school has steadily increased, not by leaps and bounds,
right,
but by, you know, 5, 6, 8 points. That kind of increase is what we're going for, so that we can sustain that growth over time.
So on the API, you're looking like at 35 points.
Yes.
Something like that. And on AYP, I mean, to get back?
They have to do at least their 5%.
Mm-hmm. To regain the proficiency rate that we dropped. Yes. And I think we can do that through closer monitoring.
Okay. Thank you.
Mrs. Paulus?
On the fiscal human resources page, you had talked about how you had to use the technology money for intervention.
Correct.
But you have technology down as on that page. Now, was that for Success
Yes.
Maker?
Yes. We still have Okay. to invest money to improve and fine-tune Success Maker, okay, both with staff development, and it may cost one or two more computers. That's our technology piece. What I canceled was about $13,000 worth of document projectors, which was what we were hoping to have, as well as monitors. We're using our old monitors because the funds needed to be reallocated for student intervention programs to bring up our achievement.
Thank you. That clarifies that. And then you talked about providing parent education. I was just wondering what that was going to look like.
We have we seem to have a problem with parents following through with homework and with just the age-old rote memorization of math facts at home. So we're going to conduct some parent workshops to assist them and teach them how to go about doing that. The teachers provide homework packets. We're having back to school night Thursday night. They're going to go over in great length how parents can support their children at school and at home. We're going to communicate that very well. So we're starting with back to school night and how to assist parents, and then try and help the kids attending YASIS as well to finish their homework so that they're getting the practice that they need.
So they would be finishing their homework in the after-school program?
In YASIS, tutoring? Hopefully, yes. That's our goal.
Okay.
And we have quite a few students that attend that.
When my son attended there was homework packets that went home then. That was quite a while ago. Was that dropped, or has there always been homework packets?
Depends on the grade level, Ms. Paulus. The primary grades tend to use packets, where the upper grade uses an agenda. They write their assignments in it, and then they're checked so that they're teaching them responsibility skills.
But they were doing that prior to... This isn't something new you're implementing. It's just something that you're reinforcing with the parents at back-to-school night.
Correct.
That you've always been doing.
The importance of their role in academic achievement for their child.
Okay. And how was that handled in the past? How is that going to look different? Did you not do the little in-service at the back-to-school nights about the homework packets? It's going to be more in-depth?
It's going to be more in-depth this year. We've talked to the school, what we're going to mention school-wide. As well as the Title I workshops that we do for parents, we're going to be focusing more on achievement and reach the parents in that manner.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
item on our agenda is a report of actions taken in closed session. It was moved by Mrs. Polis, seconded by Mr. Cox, to readmit student 180605. The student has completed the terms and conditions of expulsion and is therefore reapproved for admission. Approved for admission. Readmission. Okay. Board President's report. I have gotten the pleasure of introducing the new principals to our district. We have from West Cove, Dr. Elizabeth Quinn. From Hollencrest, Alex Ruvalcaba.
You're not getting any extra money for that.
From Coronado, Armando Morentes. And finally, from West Covina High, Mike Gotro. I do not have a further report. Is there any other board member who has a report? Okay, seeing none, the next item on our agenda is items from the floor, public comment. I have received one card, Dwight Eck.
Principals, thank you for being here. I know your days are long, so you don't need to stay unless you want to, but thank you all very much for being here.
Mike, I was just going to say something really nice about him.
Mr. Gotro may want to stay so he can really observe how a real board of education
it would be good training. It would be good training.
I always try to give you an out. You better go while the getting's good.
It would be good training.
Okay.
Thank you for this time. I just wanted to thank the board and our management staff for making such fine selections this year in our principals. I've worked with them, and so far I will say they're working our staff members extremely hard, and that's a plus for our district. There's nobody in the district that wants to see our scores go past 800 as a district than the president of the Teachers Association of West Covina. Guaranteed, I'm trying to make all of our people work just as hard as they can. The staff that you just saw here is one of the hardest working staffs we've got in this district. I mean, they are in unity in almost everything they do. They work professionally together. They've got a great principal. I don't see their scores going down this year. I was kind of amazed that they went down at all. But they work hard. So if we have to tweak some things, that's the staff. They're going to tweak them. They're going to work hard. They're going to stay after. They're going to work what they need to do to integrate the curriculum and the standards that you guys want them to have to reach that goal of 800. I think that the goal is set well. I see some of our schools achieving it in the next year. But I also see that we're a district in a middle-class area, and we're striving to achieve as high as we possibly can. We're getting the most out of most of our kids in this district. And this year, we have put our special kids into all of our classes. And I will just say, as an educator, it's a challenge. It is a challenge to have every special kid in your class. And one-on-one people are, you know, diligently doing their job with some of our students. I enjoy my special students. You know, they're doing the best that they can do. So I think that it's a good plan. I'm glad Cheryl Lawson came on board because she's a very positive person to put this plan into effect. I do have some of my teachers that say, I just can't work with these students. And I say, that's not going to happen. You're going to work with every one of these students. It's not a choice that we have. It's something that they should want to do. So we've taken those classes, those special classes, we put them into our classes. We've gone to a six-period day at the middle schools, and I have some teachers actually complaining about that. I just can't imagine that they would complain about working six periods instead of five. It's amazing to me. But you know what I've also heard is my language arts teachers, I know, Lily's going to kick us. My language arts teacher, my math teachers, they're saying to me, you know what, we're having a lot more time to dig into the standards and to get our job done. So on a positive note, those people are saying, we have more time to get into the language arts and the math standards. And I think that's what it's all about. We want to raise our scores. The biggest percentage of gain we can make is in language arts and math. So I think we're going in the right direction there. I will say it's like the Fast and the Furious in my 44-minute periods that I have for social science. You're ripping through the standards, trying to achieve the same standards, getting through the same weekly assignments in 44 minutes instead of 52 is difficult. And it's taking the teachers that do the job right a little bit longer after school. And on Friday afternoons, the day doesn't end until you finish grading the papers. You could be there like I was last Friday till 9 o'clock because you really are going at a rate that is exceedingly high, and you're keeping your students on track with less time. So the teachers that are doing it right, and I know a lot of them, are doing it the same way that I'm doing it, putting the standard on the board, being accountable for getting through the whole course of study in a shorter amount of time, are working harder. And I know you board members like to hear that. You love to hear the president of the union say, I'm working harder, okay? I admit it, I'm working harder. Mike, I'm working harder. Thank you. Not that Mike doesn't work hard, it just came out. Hey, George, I missed you at the first meeting in the breakfast. I know you had to work.
Students come first.
Students come first. I agree with you. I do like the fact that it was one of the most positive kickoffs we've had in years. I didn't have any negative responses from my teachers. They thought it was really positive. They liked the fact that, even though you told me you should have given me a cane instead of a pen, Mike, because that was kind of like over the top. But, you know, I made it back to my seat okay. I didn't get injured or anything. Thank you. It was fun. It was enjoyable. And I think we highlighted the positive. And instead of trying to focus on the negative this time, we did what we do in the classroom. We emphasized the positive, and I like the fact that our teachers walked away saying, yes, it was an hour long, yes, we got back to our schools, and we started working on the work that we needed to do for our students. So I want to thank the superintendent, the people that planned that, because it was exceedingly positive. And I just want to say to you that the Teachers Association, as far as my leadership is concerned, we want to stay as positive as we can with the board, with our management, and I'm trying as hard as I can to keep my association in a positive mode. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mary liked that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on to the business session. Approval of agenda and consent items. Are there any items a board member would like to add to consent? Any items a board member would like to remove from consent?
Item 7.
Item 1.
Any others? Do I have a motion?
I'll move as amended.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5. Okay, the next item on our agenda is item 3, resolution in support of Proposition 8. Mr. Spence, you asked for this item to be agendized.
I'll go ahead and move this item.
I'll second it.
Discussion.
Go ahead.
The only way I can look at it is, once again, we're here with Mr. Spence's obsessive preoccupation with gay sex. This is the second one we've dealt with involving that issue at this board table within 2 months. What's even further troubling is I went down and got some financial reports. And there's $9,000 that came to Mr. Spence and only one contribution from West Covina Unified. I'm sure that Mr. Spader is from Princeton, New Jersey.
Bill Spady.
Spady?
Yeah, Bill Spady.
Is interested in Mr. Spence's gay sex agenda. And what is this? Where was it? Missouri, Lincoln, Nebraska, Campbell.
Ken Campbell. Lincoln is California.
Is it?
Ken Campbell. Good guy.
Oh, well, then what about Maryland Heights, Missouri?
Is that, which one is that? Yeah. Bruce? Is that Bruce or Chris?
I don't know. But, you know, locally, and I'm sure sex generates money, but, you know, the bottom line is here. At this board table in this district, I don't see this as an issue. And I can't find any support for it in the community other than educate our kids. And I just want to send out to our kids the message, I don't care how your parents are living together. if you arrive at our door, you are welcome. And you're going to be educated in a non-judgmental manner. And I'm not going to get involved with your family life at all. Now, that's as a board member. Other than if you're abused or if you're some manner in that manner. But in terms of how your parents choose to live together, you are welcome. And I'm not going to cast any judgment on that. I'm going to stay out of that fray. If I step off this board table, then if I'm in the state, that's another thing. I don't know. Mr. Spence will have a blog out. My email will light up with 120 messages how I'm tearing kids apart. But the bottom line, I just can't get involved in this thing. And I'm just going to stay out of the fray. I'm going to stay abstained. And I'm just going to be aware that, I don't know, I can see Mr. Spence, it generates money, it generates political goodwill, it goes to the chief of staff and the legislature, and it goes there. But bottom line, here, in this board table, I just don't see it as an issue. I'm just going to abstain.
Mr. Spence?
Well, I do need to correct Mr. Fuller on one thing. It's actually closer to $20,000 I raised during the last cycle from friends in West Covina and outside of West Covina, and I don't apologize for that. Fortunately, I do have some money left over, and I think that's the number you were citing. In December of 1999, Mr. Fuller and three other members of this board voted to support Proposition 22. If Mr. Fuller no longer shares that opinion, you know, I think that's appropriate, but I do think that the discourse could have been a little bit better if we talked about it. I'd like to focus in on the fact that we do have marriage in our curriculum. It's an issue that deals with confusing children about marriage, and that's why I'm going to vote for this resolution. And, you know, I'm just disappointed that you had to stoop to that kind of level in order to try to make whatever change in your opinion you wanted to make.
Ms. Wallace?
The citizens of California, which we are definitely a part of, did vote in support of Prop 2022. And since marriage is in the curriculum, it's something that we need to address, and I'm just reinforcing what we took a stance on in 99, and my belief has not changed since then, and that's why I seconded this item.
Okay. This was a harder issue for me, and I have basically decided, as Mr. Fuller is, to abstain from this vote for a very simple reason. There is nothing in this constitutional amendment that has anything to do with how we educate students. It doesn't amend the education code. It doesn't amend our curriculum. It doesn't impact our curriculum at all. As a matter of fact, this ballot initiative actually had a court case wherein the description of the item, it was stated that it will change how we teach our students about marriage. It will do this, it will do that. And a court ruled that no, it does not, and therefore allowed changes to the language to stand. And that is how it was printed. With the Save Our Kids resolution, it was an issue that had an effect on the education code and how we would teach and what types of issues we would face. I just do not see that issue here. I think it's inappropriate for us as a board to take a position on something that is not affecting the education of our students. I would ask board members who feel a certain way about this issue to take a stance, go on to protectmarriage.org, put your name on the list of endorsements. You can put it as a board member. That doesn't affect me. You have every right as a private citizen to do that. But to support a resolution that does not impact the education of our students is inappropriate. So with that, I will go ahead and ask all in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Noes with two abstentions. Motion carries 3-0-2. Okay. Number 4, information report, board member request. Mr. Fuller?
I just asked for this We had a discussion back in December. We've had several discussions since that time about board members asking for something to be agendized, and went on there. I made the board comment at one time that it is the board's responsibility to monitor this, and if there's a need to review it, then review it. I saw that maybe perhaps we have reached that point and see what's transpiring and how this is working out. Do we have a report of how many each board member has requested?
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. Every board member was given that during an update. And Mr. Fuller, if you'd like to read it for the record, I don't have it with me.
Would you like mine?
No, I wouldn't. Okay, 1808, Mr. Spence. Agenda item, make public letter from legal counsel. 1808, Mr. Spence. Info report on permit policy, how many denied and why. 21208, Mr. Spence. Report on input of about 7-8 intermediate school. 32508, Mr. Fuller, information on contract language, on bumping rights, and how we can configure classes. 42208, Mr. Spence, info report on EMS racetrack, would like a report. 42208, Mrs. Polis, info report on how many student electives are selected and what support do special ed kids have in core classes, also workability. 51308, Mr. Spence, resolution on Save Our Kids. 81908, Mr. Fuller, information on the number of items requested by board members. And 81908, Mr. Spence, agenda item, motion on Proposition 8. Just let's see, there were Mrs. Polis had one, I had two, and Mr. Spence had six requests.
I know that's not entirely accurate because I had actually put a resolution on the agenda, so I don't know if there's other things that have been left off, but I had a resolution that we voted on and from CSBA. Yes, thank you, Mike, for in case the people didn't realize which one that was. So I don't know exactly how accurate that is. Some of the things that are attributed to Mr. Spence, specifically the racetrack one, I felt that it really expedited having resolution to the matter. I know we kept working on it, but we kept hearing from them. But once they came to the board table, and it was resolved very quickly, so I think it's important for board members to be able to agendize items that are of that come to their attention, or and then some of the other ones I know were specifically due to other conversations that were going on. I would hate to have board members limited in any way from their requests, because a lot of times individuals from the community, our constituents, are asking us questions as individuals that need to be answered, and it may not come to anybody else's attention on the board. And at different times, different information is needed from particular board members that would be beneficial to the board and to the listeners as a whole. Some things can be answered individually, but some things need to be done at the board table for all of us to participate in.
I don't believe anybody mentioned limiting the board's members' ability to agendize. In fact, I've spoken on that several times. It's been a past practice of, actually, Mr. Spence told me one time, unless there was a consensus, it wouldn't go on the agenda.
That's not true.
But
that's not true, George.
Now that we have gotten that straight and we seem to have gotten on to the spirit of bringing it to the agenda, as long as we're here, and I have to be honest, there's some people that are beginning to construe as this because somebody's angry because the vote didn't go this way or the staff didn't do these things. I hear things out in the community that certain board members are upset with the superintendent, and there's disparaging remarks. And then we have other, I don't know.
That was you.
People from New Jersey and Missouri and other things going on. And if,
issue with the racetrack, you're right.
And if we're in good conscience and this is all being done in the spirit of good government, so be it.
Now that's a great point.
If it's being done in a vindictive manner, then do we have to look at it? I don't see anybody else laughing, Mr. Spence.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Spence did give Mr. Cox $1,000, or was it two? So I do expect him to laugh. But nobody else is in the room laughing.
Mr. Spence?
You know, there's lots of things that go on in this school district that have gone on because people send emails to the superintendent that are never made public. I think it's great that I'm able to agendize items and get votes on things or information about whatever item I think is important or that other people have approached that are important. So I appreciate the board allowing me to agendize items, you know, about intermediate schools and permit policies and curricula and those kinds of things. I really appreciate the board doing that.
Mr. Cox?
Actually, I'd like to thank George for bringing this to our attention. I realize, actually, to what extent that each specific board member has been taking particular interest in particular issues, and I think that's wonderful. So, Mr. Fuller, thank you for bringing this to our attention. Mr. Spence, thank you for, obviously, the actions that you're taking in public. But you know what's missing here? Are those actions that, you know, don't always get recognized and don't necessarily come to the board level. In particular, I call to reference, and each of us now have had an opportunity to recognize the function as board president. And on a regular basis, at least twice a month and probably more frequently, and probably, as Jessica said, can tell you, it's a way more opportunity because you're constantly dealing with the superintendent, asking questions, being the first of notice and first of action. So by virtue of her name by not being here has no impact or no relevance one way or the other, the fact that there's a tremendous amount of influence that the board president has in this. So this is really kind of a bit of a meaningless kind of selfless, silly effort to have gone through and draw this. If there's an overwhelming sense in the community that there is a concern about the operations of the superintendent as a result of actions taken by this board, I certainly haven't seen it. And this so-called anonymous and, you know, hearsay that we hear throughout the thing is kind of rather ridiculous and silly, and just said to make a point is more likely what's happened. But no, I think we've all acted quite reasonable. I think this is good. Our meetings won't last till 9 o'clock. I don't know what they are in Glendora, but I mean, it's certainly reasonable, and they're really quite cordial and quite cooperative and collegial. So I have a great deal of respect for my fellow board members and appreciate everything that they do on the benefit on behalf of the children of this district.
I think if we can exercise restraint and collegiality, we'll be able to move forward.
Okay. On that note, we'll move on to item 7, student teaching agreements. I believe, Mr. Fuller, you asked for this item to be removed.
Yes. I'm just curious, how many times do these come up? I should have asked before, but how many times do we renew these?
All the time.
I mean, are they good for a year or?
They're good for a year.
Okay.
Yeah, but every year we get them from different universities and colleges.
The term is from July to June 30th, July 1st to June 30th.
For a year.
Okay. That works. Well, it's on this page 7A.
I mean, it is an automatic renewing. We can't.
No.
No. Okay. I'll move the item.
I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Motion carries 5-0. Next item on our agenda is number 8, a resolution for authorization for service outside Prudential area. Any questions?
Yes.
Mr. Fuller?
Are we moving, I guess, the old, at the, what I see at the middle school is we're moving what have would have been a sixth grade elementary multiple subject into a secondary subject? Is that correct?
Yes. Let me let Ms. Kaufman address the issue.
When you have a multiple subject credential, you're not allowed to teach individual classes of students. You have to have the same grouping of students at least several periods. And many of, just depending upon the way the students fall with the number of students, these are people that are at these levels, but we need them for specific purposes. So as a result, the multiple subjects, we need them to teach a specific subject this year. It's not always the same teachers that we use.
Okay, that leads me into the next question is, personally, I'd like to see if they're going to teach secondary to get the secondary credential, which I understand requires expense, time, effort, and for some in their twilight years maybe, and I don't want to use twilight years, but getting ready to do something else in life, it might be something there, and I'd like to see that. But
we have far less than we had last year. Every year, they're becoming less and less.
And we're moving those that we can. Are we facilitating those that we know are going to be there year after year to what we can do to do that? Okay.
Yes, because as you know, it ties up the master schedule. So you're right. We are. We're working with them so that we have less and less each year.
Okay.
Last year, we had several pages on these.
Okay.
Any other questions? Do I have a motion?
I'll move.
Second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Next item on the agenda is number 9, 2008, 9 purchase orders. Mr. Spence?
Yes, I'd like to separate two items out, so I'd like to move approval of these with the exception of on page C0901069 and then on page D0901253, which is the second one down.
I'll move. Are you moved? I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the...
I move to approve the other two.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Motion carries 4-1. Okay. any further Board of Education discussion?
Yes.
Mr. Fuller?
I wanted to collect my thoughts on the special education presentation till this period to comment on it. Number one, I was very, shall we say, appreciative of Ms. Lawson with her 36 years of experience coming to the podium and delivering it. There were times there were some interruptions that I think were distracting for her, and I would hope that our staff wouldn't have to face that continuously at the board table. That put aside, I would really like to see, I was pleased to see response intervention and like to see that continue to be funded to move forward. Also, I was somewhat concerned as to elementary school, and for my 20%, full inclusion, as much as we can move that full inclusion throughout the district forward, I would like to see it happen. I know it's difficult, but if we need consultants, we hire consultants for other areas and to move forward on that. So unless there's some pending research that says otherwise, it seems to be an area for my 20%. And transition services to continue to build those up, because we are turning students out in the community at the age of 18, or sooner, actually. I think middle school is not too early because, in all reality, I think some, what is it, 50% of the students in that category will be leaving high school at 16 or 17, unfortunately. But what we can do to prepare them during that process and then at the age of 18 to really build up the transition services there. I like to say, from my experience and what I've seen, parents don't necessarily just umbrella their kids in the special ed forever. I think if a parent had a choice, initially their child would be in regular education. I heard, you know, that maybe it was almost like parents are using this as a shelter, and I think some of our parents are moving forward. I was wondering, not as an information report on the agenda, but if we can be provided the number of students that actually exit special ed in the past 3 years, say, so that we are aware of it, and if it isn't, if we aren't, what we are doing to help students exit to move forward as they go through. And also, just in our packet, if we could have a research on Success Maker, because for all of us, I appreciate that.
Any other board member discussion? Seeing none, dates to remember: September 10th, back to school night at Vine and Edgewood. September 11th, back to school night at California and Cameron. September 16th, back to school night at the high school. September 17th, back to school night at Holland Crest. September 18th, back to school night at Merced and Merlinda. September 23rd is the next Board of Education meeting. There being no further action needed.
Can I just add, you have an email for San Jose Edison for September 11th at 6 p.m. is the kindergarten, and the September 18th, 6 p.m. is the 6th, 7th, and 8th grades.
Just what are our plans for September 11th?
September 11th, basically, some of our schools are having, of course, the moment of silence that, per the board policy. We gave that out to all the principals in terms of what they should be doing regularly, but especially that day. And we have received that we can, you know, deal with either having the flag, you know, at half staff, or we can add flags or, you know, whatever. There isn't really a mandate to do either. They are recommending that we just make sure that there is some time during the day where it is recognized and discussed. Each school is doing it differently.
Okay. Well, if our flags flew at half mast, it wouldn't bother me.
Well, we'll take the board's direction on that. Because we're not allowed to do that unless the governor says to do it.
Actually,
president through the governor to us. And basically, I don't know. We haven't
been. Have a ship to lower it on half now.
We haven't been directed to do it, but
half staff.
Okay. Right. This meeting is adjourned at 8:05.
You got 20%.
8:05 full staff.